Today is May 12, 1984. My name is Tika Ward. I am interviewing Doris Tipton. We are at 4107 Hopewell, Jeffersontown, Kentucky. Our topic is Lou Tate and the Little Loom House. As we begin, first tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am 62 years old, and I'm married, been married for 45 years, happily married to the same man, and I met Lou Tate at the Wesley Community House. She was judging what they call the country fairs. We had contests. We had weaving at the Wesley House. So Tate would come and judge the fair there. And our teacher knew just very little about weaving. She would go out and get a lesson, and she'd come back and teach us. Well, I had just married. I was 16 years old. And all the old ladies, I call them old ladies now, they was about 5, 6, 7, 8 years, maybe older than I am. My mother-in-law belonged to the club. In fact, she had to talk them and let me join the club because I was so young, they didn't want that youngster in the club. Well, when I went in, naturally I was young, well, all the dirty work they put on me. But that was to my advantage. I learned. Of course, when Mrs. McDowell learned something, she taught me and I did it. I put all the warts on the loom. I did all that kind of stuff. Everything like that had to be done, I did it. All right, there was a Mrs. Anna Thatcher that was also at the community house there. And she went out to Lou Tate. She was a loom house member. She had enough money to be a loom house member. So she started going out there, and I started going out with her. In fact, I drove. Mom Thatcher couldn't drive, and so I did the driving. And at the time, I didn't have the money to buy a loom. I worked my loom out, making warps and like it, and teaching other people, doing work at the little loom house. In fact, I worked my loom out, I worked my lessons out, and everything out of Texas. I guess I was called one of her proteges. She wanted me to learn well enough that I could weave coverlets. That's what she had in mind for me. Well, as I say, I was 16 years old, and I went there from 39 to 55. And another one of our weaver friends, in the meantime, the hobby weavers were started up and all of that. And one of the ladies there, she went to the King's Daughter's home. She was the King's Daughter. She said, Doris, the lady that works there is leaving. I need somebody to help me fix looms. Well, I started volunteering, helping fix looms. So when she left, they asked me if I'd go to work to let you get somebody. Well, I went to work for 2 weeks. But I went out and talked to Tate first. I said, now Tate, do you think I could handle this job? I said, you know, they got lots of looms. She said, now Doris, on the looms, I'm not worried about you. If you can handle the craft part, all right. And if you have any problems, you come to me. I said, all right. She said, you always adjust your looms, what you're doing, to your person, to your patient. She said, always remember that. Well, I had a man that couldn't read. I knew he couldn't read. And I wanted to put him on pattern weaving. Well, I didn't know what to do with him. And I couldn't embarrass him because I knew he couldn't read. I'd been there long enough, I knew the man couldn't read. So I went out and I said, Tate, I've got a problem, and I just don't know what to do with it. She said, well, what have you got you can't do with weaving? I said, well, I got a man that can't read, and I want to put him on pattern weaving. I said, he's a man's man. He's somebody that you have to give him a challenge. And I said, this is something I've got to do for him, but I don't know how to go about it. She said, all right, let's start thinking. She said, did you ever think of color? I said, color? What would I do with color with weaving? She said, all right, now I'm going to tell you, you think of color, and this is your project, and that's your patient. So I went back, and I went to the loom, and it come to me between the two of us. I painted the petals in different colors for 1, 2, 2, 3, 2, 4, and 1, 4, a different color. But when I got ready to give the man directions, I just put the blocks with a colored pencil, and it just worked out perfect. And the man could do the prettiest pattern weaving you've ever seen in your life. He won all kind of ribbons at the state fair and all. So I said to him, he was such a man, I had to be awful careful with him. I said, Joe, you know I'm going to school. you know, I'm still going up to Loom House. And he said, yes. I said, I got a project. And I said, I got to work it out, but you've got to help me. And he said, all right, tip you what you want. I said, now, I've got to figure this out. This is going to be in my lesson. I said, I got to paint your petals. And I got to fix your direction. And I said, if you'll help me, maybe I'll pace the course. Well, see, he was helping me, and all the time I was helping him, and Tate was helping both of us. So, I mean, any problem I had, I went, and I went for 2 weeks, and I stayed 18 and a half years. And we had all kind of looms, and I had about 7, 8 patients that wove and was good weavers. We went all kind of ribbons at the state fair. We did. And we won a lot of them in just regular categories, too. We really did. So, I enjoyed my weaving. I've done more talking than I've ever wove. But I enjoy setting up a loom more so than I enjoy weaving, really.
By setting it up, you mean?
I mean, getting it ready to weave, putting the warp on.
You enjoy doing the pattern. Warp.
Yeah. And all, I guess I did so much of it. Then after I went to work, well, it was my challenge to keep something new for them, new patterns, new colors, something different, that I was always working around their handicap. Trying to keep something new, something pretty for them to work on. And I never entered in fair myself. Never did. But of course, I'd been competing against my own patients and my own ideas, so I just never did. And then I stopped work 1 month, and the next month I had a stroke, and I've just been lazy, and I just never really got back to weaving. As I say, I taught it. I love it. It's my friends, it's been weavers, it's, weaving's been my life, but as far as saying I've done a whole lot of weaving, I haven't, I've taught it, and every seminar and every class, I've been, as far as you can go anywhere, I went to it.
Oh, like what? What kind?
Well, we went to Amherst University, January, Miss January, and up in,
You mean Amherst University?
Yeah.
In the East?
Up in Massachusetts. We go up for every one of their seminars.
And when you say we?
Rose Pirro, myself, and Elmar McGarry, three of the hobby weavers. They also went to the Loom House. And we'd go up for their seminars. It'd be 2 weeks. I had a camper. We'd go sometime. We'd stay in the rooms, and sometimes we'd stay in the camper. Just the three ladies and myself and my husband, we'd go and stay 2 weeks in the camper. And we just, well, weaving has been my life. It's been my friends. My main friends has all been weavers. They really have.
And all this started when you were 16.
Yeah, and it started at the Westlake Community House.
And Lou Tate came there to be a judge.
To be a judge is where I met her at.
And then do you remember the first time you went to the Loom House? Or was she on 3rd Street then?
Well, she lived on 3rd Street, but the loom, she already had the loom house.
And so you would go out there to take the lessons.
Yeah.
Were you ever at 3rd Street?
Yes.
What was that like?
At her house? Well, Tate, her love was weaving. And if you liked weaving, all right. And if you didn't, she didn't talk about nothing else.
Oh, she just would talk
about
weaving.
That was her life.
But now, did you ever get to meet her mother or her father when you
were there? I met her father and her aunt. Yeah.
Now, her aunt, did her aunt ever help her get coverlets or have something to do with coverlets? It seems to me that
I went, of course, we belonged to the Loom House, but I went to the Frankfurt Training Home to a meeting with Tate and to see their weaving up there. And the weaving was good, but what impressed me was the people, because by that time I had begun to, well, in fact, my first $3 I ever made with teaching weaving was teaching a handicapped person how to tape. And she said, now, Doris, you take and you sit back and watch her. Don't bother, because she's a very nervous person. said you sit back and you weave and you watch it. And that helped me a lot when I did start working. I got me a loom and got back behind the person and I wove too. And I watched her and seen what she did. And she made a mistake. I could tell by her feet and her hands what she was doing. Well, then when I went to work with handicapped people, I could sit at my desk and I could tell what they was doing when they was weaving by their hands and their feet. And I'd get up and I'd go to them. I said, do you need help? And they said, yes, I do. Well, how do you know that, Miss Tiffany? I said, well, your feet and your hands wasn't coordinated. And I mean, that was from where she taught me when I was learning out to the little loop house. And, I outsmarted myself. I made $3 teaching weaving, and I still got it. And she asked me one day, did I want a check instead of the $3? And I said, oh, no. I said, I'll just keep the $3. I wish the million times since I'd taken the check instead of $3, but that's just something.
But you still have the $3?
I still got the $3 downstairs, pinned up on the very $3. I still got the $3, but I wished I'd take the check now with Tate's signature on it, but you don't think of those things. You just, well, Tate was a little older than I was, but you just don't ever think about anybody dying. You don't. Not when you're, let's say, I was 16, I guess Tate was 25, maybe 30. I thought, you're just like kids with your parents. I thought she was ancient. But she wasn't that much older than I was. And when you get older, you begin to think that. But up at the, back to Frankfort Training Home, I'm always nosy looking around. And I walked to the window and I said, Tate, what are those people doing out there in that pen? And she said, what pen? I said, out there, look out there. I said, there's a group of people sitting out there in the yard in a pen. Like, they had an enclosure. They had about, well, I guess it was men and women both. Of course, they had on just straight dresses, straight shirt-like things. And that's where they exercised them, let them out in the sun. They were enclosed where they could sit or walk around. And then when they left, they cleaned it up easy. But that really impressed me, those people there. But for some reason, I have always follow the handicap or people that needed help. That has always been my life. That and weaving pertaining to weaving.
When you would go visit me, Tate, did you take lessons yourself, regular lessons? Or
what Tate's kind of lesson.
What kind is that?
Well, if she needs an order, if she'd sold some looms, they needed threaded, you threaded them. But so many yards of warp on it with a certain pattern. And you wound them on. And there was a game we all played with Tate. She could always, I don't care how tight you wound the warp, that woman could always come up, take a hold of that, and twist it, and get some slack in it. And I was always stout. And I think, this is one time you're not going to do that. And she would walk up, she could always get another turn on it. And I could always turn a warp tied it as anybody, if not tighter than anybody. But she had strength in her arms. She could always walk up to the side thing and get some more tightness on it.
Did you have a regular day when you were supposed to go out there?
Yeah, we went out. I really don't remember what day it was. It seemed like maybe like a Wednesday, because Mom Thatcher and I went. We went every week.
Would other people be there?
Yes, and if somebody come in for lessons, and we was more advanced than they were, we taught them. And it's the way you learned. And then we taught, after years, we would talk to Rose Pirro, and I taught at Nazareth College as student teacher. And I was putting on a warp down there, a second warp, and the girls now will really laugh at that, because I'm always one to put on more yards, do it all, lots of it. So we's down there, and the sister, we had so many spools, and Tate, you did not Well, she told you something. You did not do otherwise. You did as Tate said do. Well, that's good in a teacher. Real good in a teacher. But maybe I was a little adventurous. I kept saying to the sister, how many sisters do you want to make rugs for? She kept saying, the sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I said, well, you can need more warping in. We kept trying to. So I thought we were going to run out of warp. And I said, sister, if you ever prayed in your life, I said, you pray for both of us. We run out of warp. I said, tell you to kill both of us. And she said, well, I sure will pray. And honest to goodness, we ended up with some of 2 inches on spools. Some of it, oh, she prayed right because we didn't run out of warp. We made it. But I thought, oh, if we run out of warp, Tate will kill us.
Because you hadn't done it.
I hadn't. I was a student teacher, and I should have done what she told me to do.
And this was at Nazareth?
This was at Nazareth College. And I went ahead and did some on my own. And it hadn't been too long ago since, with the weaving group, we went out to Central State volunteering and doing some of that. So I told the girls, I said, let's put lots of yards on. Well, we did. We ran out of warp out there, and they all teased me about that. Oh my, so I'm in the habit of doing it. But when I worked, I had sectional warping, and I'd put just as many yards on as I could. So I wouldn't have to re-thread it, because your time is valuable. I mean, when you get so many patients, and you had to keep your looms threaded up, and so I would put just as many yards as I could on. But I had plenty of warp, and so, I mean, I didn't have to think of. But with Tate, the sisters had just bought so much for that loom. And she told me what to put on it, and I put more than I should. And if I'd have been the teacher, like she was, I would have graded me wrong on that. I really would. But the sister prayed just right. We didn't run out of warp.
When you would go to see Lou Tate and you would take lessons, as you say, you did different kinds of things, though.
Oh, everything. We wash windows, we scrub floors, we pick flowers. In fact, the windows up the top house, my husband and I, we bought them someplace, a wholesale farm. And we come home, we had a truck, we got them on the truck, and we hauled them up. Somebody else put them in, but Tate, she did it. She had to do everything. She didn't have money to do things, so you did everything. And I mean, whatever was to be done is what you did. And if it was a day of lessons, lots of days we made drafts all day long. And some days it was really lessons. Other days it wasn't a thing pertaining to weaving as such. If you say you went to take a weaving lesson, you did not get a weaving lesson. Maybe you wash windows all day.
I've seen a picture of you and Rose Pierrot and some others. Do you want to tell me about that photograph? It was concerning the graduation.
Oh, the from the Lumite?
Yes.
Well, we had a regular graduation. We had the board. I mean, we had certificates. We had a regular. There was about 7 of us graduated from the Lumite College. And there's not too many does that. Not from a Lumite College, it is.
How did she get that idea?
You never know what to. She had a wonderful mind. She really did. And as serious she was, you wouldn't think she would ever graduate from a Lumitech College. And that's what it said on the certificate. She had them printed. We got the certificates and everything.
We have a photocopy of that, and you have one yourself,
yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
And then you had a cap,
yeah,
which you wore. And then
the
there was...
And all?
Right.
Yeah.
Had Lou Tate made those herself?
Yes. Or had a maid, one of the two. She had the certificates printed and everything. And you know, let me stop a minute.
Were you all surprised by the graduation ceremony?
Yes,
did you
was.
Tell me about it?
We was very surprised about it. We knew we was working towards something because we had goals that we had to meet. The different things that we were supposed to do out Tate. And when the graduation ceremony come up, why, she said, you have to be out here at a certain date for your graduation. And we thought, graduation? And she hadn't told. Tate was hard for her to keep a secret. Usually she told some of us. But on that, she didn't. It was really, I think, a surprise to all of us. They said there was Miss Church, Rose, me, Jane Burns. I think there's a picture in some of the things of all of us.
Yes, there is. And we have a picture in this oral history project. Yeah. And Rose Pirro named all of them. There was one at the far left she couldn't remember the name of. Maybe someday we can get together and we can say the name.
But it was a surprise, but it was a wonderful surprise. And when we had our 25th thing of our hobby weavers, well, I take my lunatic thing out to the show up to them.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Did you take it out there?
I don't know if I can find it right now.
Yes.
But
well, but we have a picture of that, too.
Uh-huh. But I do have it.
And you still have yours.
Yeah.
Now, where did she hold the ceremonies?
Up to the...
In the top house, or...?
It was in the top house, because we was on the steps going down the... From the... Where they teach at now. The steps that goes down the stairs. Where the pictures were taken. Oh, and Sue Kendricks was in there.
Now, when you say that you all had assignments, things that you had to do, you knew you were working toward something. What do you mean by that?
We had so many looms that we had to fix, and we had so many drafts we had to fix, and so many we had to pages to fill out, drafts to finish out.
Were these in connection with her publications?
Yes.
Oh, now tell something about these publications.
Well, you know, she made her books, but most of those, we were the guinea pigs. We was learning, but we was guinea pigs too. We worked the pages out. Most of them, before she printed, we had it on the looms. We did the sample work and all before she printed the pages. And in that way, why, it was all proof woven before it was printed. And we all learned, and it was really something that, when you started to draft writing, or when you started taking a draft off of a piece of material, the way Tate taught us to fill in these drafts and all, it really taught you how to pick a piece of material apart, to really know what threads to put where. And it was just something you learned that, well, nobody else could talk. Well, I guess you could, somebody else, but I mean, of all the places that I went, I was never taught like we learned out of Tate's. She had her own way, and I was just fortunate that I got my 16 years in that nobody but God could take away from it, really, in time.
So that, how did she begin to teach you? To take apart that, did you had to?
You just went in. She started you. Most times she started you on tying on the board. And we started on the door to start with. She had pegs on the door. And she set the table and the loom there. And she had a dummy warp. When we first started off, we all had dummy warps on our looms. And you tied from the dummy warp and put your warp on the door. Well, you started then on the, where you had your regular stands. Then she had frames. Well, any way that you could put a warp on, Tate had that out there. Well, then after when I went to work, that all come in handy for me. Then when I got a reel, it was easy for me to convert to that because I knew all the other ways. And when I got all the different kinds of looms, I knew how I could convert it. Because I had done so many different ways out there. And then we had a frame. She come up with a frame when she was selling so many looms. She had a frame, and we would put dummy warps on that. It had the heddles and the reed, and you threaded that. And then she could just take that off and put it on the loom. The next fella could come along and tie the warp on it, and then she'd have another loom to send out. We was really in production for a while. We really was, because that was when she was really active, when she was selling looms and was really active.
I heard that she didn't like to part with her looms.
She didn't. They was all part of her. And her patterns is part of her. And I thought, well, Tate would teach you so far, and she would stop. I've thought of that many times, but since I've got older and since I've learned, I know there's basic things they can teach you, and you have to go from there. It wasn't that she taught you so much and stopped. She taught you the main basic things, and you were supposed to go from there. You were supposed to use what she taught you.
Some of the limbs were painted. Do you remember the reason why some of them? I heard that she, now, did you ever go to Fort Knox? You went to Fort Knox with her. I heard that maybe she would paint the ones that she was taking to Fort Knox. We've kind of wondered why some of them were painted and some of them weren't.
Well, when we went to Fort Knox, we went down there for a demonstration on sectional warping. And that's where I learned how to do sectional warping, was down at Fort Knox. And I had an old WPA loom that I had got at the Wesley House. As I said, I came from the Wesley House. I came from the East End. My husband made us a living, but he did not make money to buy looms and threads and things. So I worked for my loom and for my thread and stuff. So when I went to Fort Knox with this demonstration on this section of work, and I come home and told them about it, I had went up to the Wesley House. They had bought a whole truckload of looms up there and throw them down. You should have one if you'd pick it out. Well, I had learned enough how it takes about looms that I could pick me a loom out of that bunch of wood laying there. So I had picked me out enough stuff, and my husband put it together for me. I told him how they done that section of warping. Well, he put sectional warping on my loom. Well, I didn't have enough money to buy. You know, with sectional warping, you put 2 inches at a time. That's 24 spools of thread. Well, I didn't have money to buy 24 spools of thread. So I walked from the East End to Sears and Roebuck's, and I bought 12 spools and come home and put half sections on that. And I said, God sure watches after fools and people that don't know things. And put my section of warping on, but that sold me on section of warping. But I didn't have enough money to buy 24 spools. So I bought 12 spools and carried them all the way from 10th and Broadway to Shelby and Washington Street. And that is a long ways. But at that time I was young and I was interested in weaving, so I did it.
And your husband put the loom together?
Yeah. My husband can do most anything. He always could and always has. And talking about Peggy Lumpkin there.
Yes. Right now we're looking at a cup which is identical to the cup that we have a picture of in the Rose Pirro interview. And it's a cup made by Mary Alice Hadley.
Yeah.
And you want to read the inscription on it?
It says, Lou Tate, 1953, Peggy Lumpkin. I've got one of them too. And downstairs somewhere, and Peggy Lumpkin is now in a nursing home, and her husband used to call her a lunatic all the time.
After she'd gotten that award, he started using that as a nickname.
Yeah, lunatic, And we was awful, really awful proud of these.
Now, what is the story on when you all received those? Were you surprised once again?
I'm blank on that.
There's a picture of the little loom house. Rose Pirro doesn't really remember the circumstances surrounding that. Now, she said some of them stayed at the loom house and weren't allowed.
For coffee.
And that they weren't supposed to leave.
But it's the picture top house on the cup, and it was made by Mary Alice Hadley. But we used to go up there. I went up there to the, with the Wesley House. And
you mean to Mary Alice Hadley's?
We knew her personally. And she used to come out to Tate's.
Was she?
She was a beautiful little French lady. She was, as I say, then everybody was older than me, but she, I guess that Mary Alice was 30. And she had, I thought it was gray, but it was peroxide blonde hair. She wore a knot in the back, and she was a beautiful, petite little person. And I just think many times of the pictures I could have had of her. And things of that, that's just part of living. That's just part of our time.
Were she and Lute friends? Or they just were contemporaries?
I think
both
it's just
artists.
I think they were artists. Because Mary Alice belonged to our little craftsman's guild. And I met her lots of times there too.
Now, what craftsman's guild?
Little craftsman's guild.
Oh. Now, was this something that some of the other people who went to the Loom House also joined?
Nearly all of them. Nearly all of us. Rose Pirro and Peggy and myself and nearly all of the main weavers.
And it was not just weaving?
No. It was all kinds of crafts. All crafts. Little craftsmen. In fact, it's still going now. It's at the water tower now.
And is that where it meets?
Yeah.
Did you join it and then go do crafts on a regular basis there?
No. Let's see. Let me see.
This is the end of side one, interview one. So we are, this is side two. We are continuing our discussion of the Louisville Craftsmen's Guild, which started in 1958.
And Neil Peterson come out to the Loom House and give us a lesson on color. And we were supposed to apply it to our weaving. And she said, well, you know, I have always thought of what I was gonna make and then applied my color and my design. But Neil was an artist. She wanted you to think of color and then do it. Well, I never was real good at that, so I didn't do too good on that lesson. But anyhow, we all, nearly all of the weavers, I say Peggy, Rose, myself, Edna Brahm, they're all weavers, all Loom House weavers. The real old ones that went out. They all belong to the Louisville Craftsman's Guild. We were all charter members. And so we went used to meet at Neil Peterson's house. They taught at the university, Neil and Daniel did. Neil and Daniel both taught, I'm sure, but I know Neil did. And her mother wove some. She had a big loom and she did weave some. I think her mother was more the weaver than Neil or Daniel. But as I say, Neil was the artist, and I think she taught art painting at the university in Louisville. But she did come out to Loom House and give us lessons on color. But my color, I always have to think of what I'm going to use it for, my pattern, and then I think of color. But that's not the way an artist wants you to think of it. They want you to think of color. But I don't think that way.
Did Lou Tate have different people come out and speak to you all on different subjects?
Yeah. Had different people come out. And we had, you know, the algebra expression. She had the people in from California. Offhand, well, nearly every book she's got, there are from different people that has come in. And Rose Pirro and I, when we went to Nova Scotia, we went by, the name's done left me.
Well, that's all right. I didn't know you'd gone to Nova Scotia.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, tell about
we
that.
We was up at Amherst, up there to the university, to one of their, and then from there we went on over to Nova Scotia and we went by to see the lady that was down here. One of her books.
Was it Mary Black?
No. Florence Mackley.
Florence Mackley.
Yeah. We went by to see her.
Oh, did you see her?
No. She was down giving some lessons in the United States when we were there. We missed her. But now she is a lovely person. In fact, she was at the Lou Tate's for about a month or longer.
Teaching weaving?
Teaching weaving. And she was teaching and learning. They all come in for lessons. They give lessons, but they all could learn from Tate. They always taking something back with them.
Even as they left something here.
Because I think Tate and most of us are traditional weavers. Our patterns, we have traditional patterns. We like, like A to D's and all. hers was from arithmetic. Well, when we got to really messing with it, we applied it more to traditional. And different, even Floris Mackley. Now, her patterns was more traditional than Ada Dietz. But the different people that come in, it was really...
What do you mean by traditional? As opposed to what else?
Well, some people have stripes and colors and slate. Ours is designs, more designs. Traditional design, colonial designs, I would say.
Based more on like the coverlets.
Yeah, coverlets. Yeah, more your coverlet patterns and things like that.
You had said when you first met Lute that she had in mind for you to learn about the
coverlets. And she had lots of coverlets and lots of coverlet patterns. And that's where that's where we're taking off lots of drafts for these papers. We'd take the old drafts and take the draft off of them and put it on the papers and work them down. And that's where lots of these hot pad patterns that's in one of these books come from, off of the different old coverlets. And then, as I said, we would weave it. We'd thread the loom up and weave it and try them out, and then she'd print the pages. We was learning, and she was getting her pages too. So it was all, she was getting things, and we was too.
So she was right when she spotted the potential in you.
Yeah.
And at your early age, she could tell that you could
but
go beyond.
But then that I could go on with handicapped people, because of all the people that's coming out there, I don't know why she picked me for this one certain lady with handicap. But she said, "Now, Doris, you're white, you're patient. I want you to work with me." Well, I did, and the lady did weave, and she is still weaving. And it has meant a lot to her. And I went on and I worked 18 and a half years at the King's Daughter's Home.
So it was really Lute. You saw that initially.
And I said, if there ever was one, was her protege. I'm one of them. Of course, I came from the Wesley House. My husband made our living, but I did not have the money to buy my loom or pay for my lessons. I worked them out.
Did she ever tell you about the little looms and how they came about? Did she ever discuss that with you? Or
no.
Her time of teaching, was it the Girl Scouts with Mrs.
Hoover? Yeah, she used to talk about all of that, but I mean, you remember so much of it. But to me, the little looms are the handiest. I've got big looms, but I like Kate's little looms because I can thread it up, I can put it in my car, and if you got one, we can swap them. And it's easier to get them around. And my big loom, you can't move it. You can move it, but I mean, it takes a truck.
Had there been little looms around before Lute started making them popular or making them available to people?
Well, if it was, I wouldn't know.
Because in the really old days, they only had the big looms.
Big looms, yeah. But they was basic for covers,
mm-hmm.
rugs, covers.
Did people make clothes with these little looms?
Yeah. In fact, I made a material for a dress on one. My mother-in-law did, and Elmar McGarry did, and Rose made a skirt. When we went to Amherst, well, that was one of the projects. You had to have something that you made, and then you had to wear it in a style show. And Rose has got pictures of where she was in the style show, her and Elmar. I would go and get in the style show, because I've always been heavy.
Well, did you get in, but you weren't in the least bit of, it was fine to take part in it and not do that.
Yeah, and then when we had our 15th, one of our anniversaries, anyhow, we wove the material and we made up white roses. And I take them to the floors and had them arranged in a container. And we had our speaker and all we made corsages out of them for them, and it really made a nice. But we did get that idea from Amherst. Of course, on their table up there, they had iris and everything that was made out of hand-woven material. And we had just brought that back and applied it to the need that we had at that time. We need fly ranges for the table for our anniversary and corsages, so we just wove the material, white linen. Made our flowers up. I've always been worked in crafts, so I had everything else. So we just made up the flowers and had them arranged in cassages and all. And presented them to the lady come down and spoke to us from Frankfurt. And we give her a cassage, she'd take me back to Frankfurt. So.
Did you ever go back and talk to Lou Tate after you'd been to Amherst or someplace and discuss with her what happened and what you did?
Yeah. She said, well, you're just trying to further yourself along. And I said, yes. I did as long as I worked. Every year, I taken something, did something. Because I married young, I wasn't a college graduate, and I knew it. So I always felt like I had to keep learning, and I did, as long as I worked. And as I said, I worked 18 and a half years, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
Did she ever discuss with you her experiences of recovering these coverlets, finding these coverlets, and getting them?
Yes, but I don't remember.
Did she ever talk to you about the young people and teaching them?
Oh, the children. She loved to teach the children. She really did. Now, that again, she saw that in me. Now, I never did particularly like to teach the young people. Now, I was more for the older people. Now, and if there was an older person or something, I got them. And the other ones got the children. So, she seen that. She knew more about me than I did, because I didn't know that I had that in me, but she did.
But she enjoyed teaching me.
Oh, Lord, she did. And I had one son, and he went out there, and she taught him, and he's in some of the pictures where he taught. Yeah.
He's in some of these pictures here.
You'll find most of our patterns here in Kentucky, our traditional patterns. And they're where people have brought them in from other states and other countries, but they are traditional patterns. And we have different people has expanded on them, and that's what they are today. But there are a certain section of them is your true traditional pattern.
The people in Nova Scotia, are they traditional or?
They have lots of traditional patterns. They do. Especially Mrs. Florence Beckley.
Now the hobby weavers, do they have a certain idea about weaving?
Well, most of us had most of us was traditional weavers because all of us learned from under Lou Tate. All of us had one time or another studied under Tate, so we all pretty well thought the same way and wove the same way. We just had a little different idea in the way we wanted to go than the little loom house. So we started our own organization. I think it's 25 years old now.
The people in the hobby weavers are 25 years old. The people in Amherst, are they traditional or?
No. There are some traditional weavers, but not very few. They are more modern weavers. They're damas weavers. They're multiple harness weavers. They're just, most of the people around in our area is from 2 to 8 harness weavers. And up in Amherst and all, they have more harness. They have more harnesses on their loom. They go into more design than what we do. We usually stay within a 4-block design or an 8-block design. Where up there, they go into 16, 24, and all like that.
Do people come from all over the United States to these?
Yes. And that makes it nice, too, because you meet the different things, people, and then they have the different ideas, and you get to see what they're weaving and the different teachers and all. It really makes it wonderful.
Now, at these state fairs, would the things that were presented would be Kentucky things?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But where I met Tate was a neighborhood. It was a community house. Mm-hmm. A community house fair.
You know, I know that the Little Loom House had a country fair. The Little Loom House Country Fair. Was that held at the Little Loom House or at the fairgrounds or?
Well, when she flew with it, a fair, well, that's what she called it, because that's what ours was called at the Wesley House, was a country fair. And then she came and judged the weaving. In fact, I won first prize on my bag that I'd be ashamed to get it out to show anybody now, but I've still got it. And then I wove an afghan on it, and in fact, it was out of scrap yarn that somebody had given the Wesley House. So to make the ends match, I'd take the whatever yarn I had, roll it in two balls, and I'd weave one, try to have some for both ends. I've still got it.
And but where did you win the award for your purse?
At the Wesley House.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. One of the first fairs, a lieutenant judge at the Wesley House. They don't have a weaving program there now. If they sold all of their looms, that was sad. But you have to have people that's interested in weaving. I mean, weaving, most of it, if it wasn't for the little looms, even with the little looms, it's an investment. But if you get into your big looms and all, it's a big investment.
I heard that Lou Tate didn't like to part with her little looms.
Well, she really didn't. She sold, had some sold, but when she had them threaded up in patterns and all, she just seemed to set them all on the shelf and looked at them. But in her main house down there, it was just like going in, looking at paintings. She had threads sitting all around her room where she sat. I said it was just like an artist out in the woods or something. She had all the different colors sitting there. So when she was sitting designing something, she could look up and see her threads. She had shelves built around in her living room, the room that she mostly stayed in. And it had a big fireplace in there, and you'd go in there in wintertime, she'd have a fire in the fireplace, and all the threads around. But it was like my house. It was never straight. And if you'd ever straightened, she died because she couldn't have found anything, because she had her own filing system. She had her own way of doing it. But her house was her home, and she kept her threads all around her, kept her looms around her, and that was, you just felt good when you went in there. You really did. And when you went to Top House, that was the way it used to be. It was cut off a little section in rooms and all, but every room, the walls was just full of looms. And everyone had a different design, different color. And that was where the students worked.
And that was where you all worked.
Yeah, sure was.
Did you ever go down to her house to visit and just to have to talk or to chat at the bottom house, Esta? Or would she, that was her home, that was where she lived.
No.
So she would, if she were going to be alone, that's where she would go.
If she wanted to be alone, she would go down there. But usually you stopped by there as you went up to the top house and got your instruction of what you're supposed to do for the day. And if she was in a talking mood, she went with us, and sometimes we stayed there and worked. We done most of our draft drawing down there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And most of all of our pages that we filled in and all that, we did down in her house.
For the publications.
Yeah. And she had some looms down there that we worked on, but the most of the looms we worked on was up in Top House.
What did she do with Wisteria, the middle cabin?
It was more of a storage place. And then when we got ready to have a country fair out there, well, then she always put an exhibit on the walls. We cleaned it up and washed the windows and scrubbed the floor and straightened it out and get all the squirrels out of it. And it made a beautiful place for an exhibit because, you know, the wood in there and the Wisteria used to be beautiful out there. They were long, they would hang, big purple ones hanging down. It was just gorgeous. And then she put out, when the children was out there working, most of the children came after the life drive, went to work after 55. And she would put them out on, it's like a patio, right out there at Wisteria, and she put them out there on with the looms, and it was beautiful out there with all the children out there with looms. As I said, my son went out there for that, and it's a picture of him, as I say, you can put morphs on someplace.
We'll find it in one of those. Yeah. I'm sure there's one in one of the publications at Esta, Bottom House, right now. I'm sure there is. We'll incorporate it with this interview.
And it was a privilege to go out there. I mean,
why did the children mainly start not till after 1955? Do you remember anything about that?
No, maybe because I was such a kid myself, I didn't pay any attention
to
them.
Yeah, that's right. Then after that, you might have thought of them as children.
I was such a kid myself. Maybe I didn't. I had my son when I was 17, so I was a kid myself.
Did she ever talk about going, having been in college in Berea, or what?
Yes, she did. She talked about her being there and how she used to have to weed for experience. And all she talked about weaving on. I wasn't complaining. I was simply making a statement about I was tired. And she said, well, you ought to have seen how much I used to have to weed when I was in college at Berea. So we mowed just yards and yards and yards. And I said, well, I guess you did it that. I said, one thing about you learned well. She said, yes, I did. And I said, I'm learning well, too. She said, yes, you are. But that's the way to learn is to actually work.
And that's where she learned. Is that where her interest began in weaving?
In Berea, yes.
But then she went to graduate school.
Yeah.
Do you remember when? Yeah,
but that was engineer. She was a graduate engineer.
Oh, she was?
Yes. And that's why she was so good at drawing dress. And she had the, I'm going to say the foresight. She could get things down to the right size and cut it down, you know, for a dress and thing. She just ended up, she was just smart. She was just a smart person.
But then she was able to get the pieces to the little loom,
figure
out how it should go. But your husband was able to put it together.
Yeah. But he was a man. He was an engineer. He worked with his hands. My husband was an art worker, so that was part of his life. She was a woman. How many women has a degree in engineering? But she did.
How did she ever happen to come to Kentucky? Just because her father was living?
Well, her father lived here. He worked on the railroad.
And then she made his home.
They lived on 3rd Street. That's where I first, knew that she lived. But otherwise, she talked of her life, but as a kid, and I was trying to learn, I just didn't pay any attention to it. She just...
When was the last time you saw Lute?
At the nursing home.
Oh, you visited her at the nursing home?
Yeah, I went to the nursing home and saw her. And even then, she was trying to set up a program out at the nursing home.
To teach people to
weave? Yeah.
Did she have a loom out there?
No, but she was teaching with paper and different things. Yeah. Even then, she was trying to teach weaving.
Was she glad to see you?
Oh, yes. We always had a... As I say, I think she always thought I was her child. I really do, because I was young and... And she always tried to teach children. I was a middle-aged child. All the other ladies was about, nearly all of them are dead now and are in nursing homes. They're all about 20 years older than I, of our main group. And so I was really the baby of the group. So from out of us, 39 to 55 was when I went to work. But if I needed help, I knew she was there. All I had to do was go out. Even after I quit work, after I quit work and I had my stroke, after I got to feeling better, I got to thinking about I was going to teach weaving in my basement, because I do have plenty of looms, and I have the knowledge. I just don't have the energy anymore. But I respected her enough that I went out and I talked to her. I said, now, Tate, would you care if I'd start teaching weaving in my basement? And she said, well, why you ask me, Darcy? You don't have to ask me that. I said, no, but I said, I respect you enough that I wouldn't start without asking you, because I want to know if you end up talking. And she said, why, sure, go ahead. The more they teach, the more the better it is. So, but I would not have to start teaching without asking. I felt I owed her that much. I really did. I will always treasure what I learned as a weaver from Lute.